Okay, so we are up to Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are talking about the case of Kashi. Shmuel had said that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the case of Kashi. So yesterday we gave an introduction to Kashi. I'd like to repeat that introduction. In the time of Chazal, before the women started being machmer themselves, there used to be a woman had an 18-day cycle, which meant when she became a nida, whenever she became a nida, she became a nida for 7 days. It did not have to be 7 clean days, just 7 days. At the end of 7 days, if she was clean, she went to the mikvah, and then she was no longer a nida. During the next 11 days, a woman cannot become a nida. The discharge makes her, if it's 1 or 2 days, a shemeres yayim, which means she's coming for 1 day, usher to her husband for 1 clean day. But if it's 3 consecutive days, she becomes a zava, and she has to have 7 clean days. Now, if a woman, a regular healthy woman, would never see during those 11 days, whenever she sees after day 18, would start again day 1. So if a woman would have a 28-day cycle, first 7 days she's a nida, the next 11 days she would watch herself to see that she doesn't have discharges at least 3 days in a row. She has one, she keeps 1 clean day. And then after 18 days, from then and on, she waits for her next period and she starts her cycle all over again. That's how most Rishonim learn. So therefore a woman had to keep a calendar to know, am I in my 7 or am I in my 11? Because if it's in my 7, I don't have to keep any clean days. If it's in my 11, I have to keep clean days. So women have to keep track of their stomach. Now, that's one halakha. That changed over history, over time. When Klal Yisrael's women decided that they don't want to play around with this, it's too dangerous to play around because they miss things and they don't know where they're up to and they forget. So they said if they see a drop of blood, they keep shivin nekiyim, which is what the halakha is today. The women who have any discharge, I'm not talking about ksamim, I'm talking about ria, meaning a period, keep 7 clean days. Ksamim is a different shayla, I'm not getting into it. Now, the halakha also was that a woman who gives birth during the days of nidus, it's fine. She doesn't have to keep 7 clean days. And the fact that she has labor pains does not keep her from becoming a nida. She's still a nida. It wouldn't make a difference whether she's a nida or you let us anyway, so it's really academic. However, a woman who during her pregnancy had a period, unlikely but possible, she had a pregnancy, she had a period, and she went through 7 days, and then she became clean and went to the mikvah. She's now in her 11 days, but she can become a zava. She goes into labor, and she sees dam, and has pain, labor pain. So the question is she become a zava? The difference would be, a regular woman that gives birth again in the time of Chazal did not need 7 clean days. She needed a certain amount of days after a boy or after a girl, and then she would go to the mikveh if she was clean at the end of those days. She did not need 7 clean days. But if she was a zava when she gave birth, she can never return to her cycle till she has 7 clean days. So this woman is seeing during those 11 days, but she's seeing with labor pains.
It's not 3 days.
She's seeing a whole bunch of days.
It's going to be 3 days.
At least 3 days.
The labor's going on for 3 days.
So it's going on for many days. The Gemara's going to talk about going on for a month. She has pain and is bleeding. And the question is this make her a zava, or is she a lettuce? Does she need 7 clean days after all this is over? After giving birth, or is it enough that she is not considered a zava and wouldn't need clean days? And the question is, please let me just finish. The question is, how many days are we willing to attribute to labor? At what point do we say it's too long of a labor and therefore is no longer considered labor, it's considered zivus? And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. This Mishnah is talking about, yes?
The question, what's the blood source?
It's the same source. Pashtus is the same source. Yeletus bleeds from the uterus. Nida bleeds from the uterus. Zava bleeds from the uterus. There's no different dam nida, dam zava. It's the time in a month. And it's examined as a custom. Based on the fact, by the way, that nida is natural, yeletus is natural, and zava is an aberration. healthy women don't bleed for 11 days after their period. Really, 11 days after the 7 days. If she does, something is wrong, physically, ruchniyazdikly, I'm not getting involved. It's a tumah. The Rebbe Shlomo is sending her a tumah. It's not the regular. A regular healthy woman never becomes a zavah. She has her 7 days, and for the next 11 days, she's not supposed to have any dam. It's not natural. The Torah gave it a different halacha, called zavah. The Torah views it as a, I hate to use the word, but it's like a wake-up call, like something's wrong. They couple it with Taras. The Rishayim put becoming a Zava to a woman, but we're not interested in that now. We're not talking about Musar, we're not giving her Musar, we're not telling her what to do. We're talking about practical halacha. And our mission is going to deal with now, we're going to be dealing with, is how long of a time are we willing to attribute labor pains to birth? Like, can a woman be in labor a month and it's all considered labor? How long are we willing to do it? Now, this all is negaya only if she didn't stop the labor pains. If she stopped and went quiet and then had birth, then we say obviously it wasn't labor pains because she stopped. It was false labor pains. Because why did she stop before birth? Labor pains are supposed to continue till birth. So if this woman had labor pains for a week and was bleeding, and then all of a sudden stopped bleeding, stopped labor pains, we say it wasn't labor pains. She was pain, but it wasn't the real labor pains. The riot had stopped. That's what this mission is going to say. So let's read this mission. We are up to... The reason women keep Shiva Nikim today is because they treat themselves like Zavas with any discharge. They decided, and Chazal sanctioned, the Lashon HaGemara is B'nais Yisrael Achmiru Al Atzmam. Shafilu Royas Tipas Dam Kechardu Yeshevas Aluf Shiva Nikim. It started with a B'nais Yisrael Chumra, and Chazal sanctioned it and made it halacha.
Doesn't that minimize the severity of Zava?
Yes. So I have a drush on that, yes. That means that the women decided it's more important to make sure you're not transgressing halacha than to get the musar out of Zava. It's like Chal Yisrael decided it's more important to keep Hilchos Shabbos than to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. For the fear that somebody might carry a shofar. They decided that it's more important to keep Hilchos Shabbos for the fear that somebody by mistake might carry a shofar into Rosh Hashanah, which barely exists. It's more important that than shofar. The women decided it's more important to make sure that they do right than to learn the Musar of Zava. Yes, that's my shtickle tyra. It's in my notes, which is not a favor.
Why are you giving him the drasha? If you come to the shul, you would hear it. Well, why does he deserve it? He doesn't deserve this. Maybe you shouldn't.
He gets commission. Anyway, bye. So we are. Eight lines at the bottom. Shmuel Amar, b'kaishi v'kiddush. We paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by kaishi and by kiddush. What is kaishi? Did not. Kamiye kishuya. How long are we willing to give a woman labor pains and attribute it to labor and say she's not a zava? You know, a woman can be a zava for a year. A woman can have start bleeding during those 11 days and never have seven clean days, will remain a zava for a year. So zivus has no limit. She needs seven clean days. Labor has a limit. How long? Up to 40, 50 days. And the Gemara Nida explains 40 for a healthy woman and 50 for a woman that's not well. We're willing to attribute a woman to have labor pains. She's a healthy woman, 40 days. So if she's not well, we'll give her 50 days of labor pain. Rabbi Yehuda says it's when the Rish Chodesh of the ninth month comes. Nothing to do with her personal ninth month. When Rish Chodesh comes, and this is the beginning of the ninth calendar month of her pregnancy, she got pregnant in Nisan, so that's 1 month. When Rish Chodesh Kislev comes, which is month nine, it's not her ninth month, but the Bezin has announced, or the Shul has announced, by Rish Chodesh benching, that there's going to be Rish Chodesh. The day it becomes Rish Chodesh starts the ninth month, calendar month. That's when labor can start. It depends on when Rish Chodesh is. It can be 2 weeks before labor, before ninth month is over, 3 weeks, 1 week, a day. It has to do with the announcement of Rish Chodesh. That's when labor pains are attributed to birth, and I want to get back to this in a second. And Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Kishi Yaisi Mishnei Shabbosis. 2 weeks is all you get, and Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yaisi. Now, this is another raya to a Yerushalmi. There's a famous Yerushalmi, and this is in the same vein. A woman, the halacha is that a girl under three, if she has a relationship with a man, her basulim grow back. Her virgin blood, whatever it's called, hymen, I think it's hymen, comes back. Over three, it does not come back. So the Yerushalmi discusses a case of a girl who turned three, and we'll pick a date, Gimel Adar. And after Gimel Adar, she had a relationship. So she's over three. And then Bethan decides to make an Adar Sheni, and her birthday is Adar Sheni. So that means now she's not three. Now today we have calendars, that will never happen, because we know when there's another Sheni. But in those days, Bethan decided on the spur of the moment to add another Sheni. They could decide up to 15 days, according to one Madiyama before other Sheni, and one says all the way up to Arab Rosh Chodesh. They decided to make another Sheni, so now she's not three. Zakti Yerushalmi, her Basulim will come back. The power of Bezin is such that it affects the physicality of people. This is another raya. The soon as Bezin announces month number nine, she's now, quote-unquote, having labor pains. It could be 25 days away from her due date. It can be 1 day away from her due date. It's the announcement of month number nine, the Bezin's power of making Rosh Chodesh, that creates the fact that she's now in the parsha of having labor pains. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Kami Heikishuya. The Kaimalam Benida Deraisa, Benida Deraisa, that Hamakasha Betoif Yudalam Shebe Nida Lenida. A woman is in labor pain between the 11 days. Veraya Dam Gimel Yomab Rebsufim Machmet Sar Vlada. And she sees 3 consecutive days because of the tsar of her baby. Ain't a boli de ziva. She never can become. She doesn't become a zav. The estricha sphere zayin nikiyim. He yelad is bezayv. She doesn't need 7 clean days like he yelad is bezayv. Ella, you made tumas leider. He yelad is greatest. All she would need is the days of tumas leider, like every other yelad. The tanya ki yazuv zayv dama. We darshin dama machmas atzma v'loy machmas vlad. It has to be natural in the fact that it comes out on its own, not because of a baby. How many days are we willing to attribute that it's because of the baby? 40 to 50, and again the Gemara Nida explains, 40 for a healthy woman, 50 for not a healthy woman. There are times that that's not more than 1 or 2 days, because she held up a baby for Chodesh. Gave birth on the second day. Ein avad mitar al damim sharasim rosh chodesh ve'elach. It won't help her for the blood that she saw 3 days ago, because it only goes the ninth month. She'ein bo'ay de'ziva ayad el'ziva em lo'y rosa gimu yam rusufim kaitim rosh chodesh. What it does is that if she didn't see 3 days before the ninth month, she does not become a zava. The summer of Yehuda, shipura garim. It's the blowing of the shofar, the announcement of Rosh Chodesh, that causes labor, can cause labor. Rashi in the parentheses. Shifer Shabazin Taikim Lakidish Achaydish, he's the bro of Shifer, Gairam Hakishui, can cause physical labor pain. That's when labor pain starts. Pamushu Matiris Kalachaydish, Yolda Besaifai. Sometimes it's a whole month. Ve'inat Tarel Miziva, and by the way, this only works for Zivas. Abu Minida in a Matara, we may need them. However, this only works for Zivas. A Nida can become a Nida even if she's having labor pains. It's only if she was a Nida and she's now in the 11 days that we're talking about this whole thing. She never was a Nida yet. In this, she hasn't been a Nida for the last 6 months, so the blood she sees is Nidas. Also, Vimshapsim and Atsar, Samach Ladeh Yemechad, if she stopped having pain a day before birth, or any day before birth, Av Meziva Loitara. That's a ride that it wasn't really labor pain. Labor pain does not stop a day before birth. It shows us that the labor pain wasn't really labor pain. It was caused by something else.
Stop for how long?
A day.
Stop for...
The Gemara Nida talks about what does it mean a day? 24 hours? Calendar day? That's the Gemara Nida has a whole story on that.
All this is only talking about how she became a Nida first.
First she had to become a Nida.
Pain, nothing.
Nothing. Well, even if she had pain, it makes no difference. She becomes a Nida.
Becomes a Nida with pain?
Yeah.
We don't attribute that to
Kishu? Kishu is only a Ptur in Zivas. Even if it is Kishu, she becomes a Nida. So if there's Nida in your lattice, there's no difference. She's tummy anyway.
Right.
Here, she's only during those 11 days.
What? This whole sugya is during those 11 days. It means she had been a Nida, and now she's in 11 days.
She waited five days.
Right. Now. The Rambam, I'm just going to mention this. I really don't want to go there. I just thought it was interesting. The Rambam has a different sheet on the 7 and the 11, and it makes life very difficult. We can understand why the Rabbanim made, why the women made the Chumrah, but there are also many Gemaras and Shver according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds that every woman has a 7 and an 11, whether she sees or doesn't see. She sees, she's in Eden for 7 days, the first time in her life. The next 11 days, she's eligible for Zivas. The next 7 days, she's eligible for Nidas. So if she didn't see, she saw seven, she became a Nida, then she has 11 days that she didn't see, and then she didn't see the next 7 days. After that, she's eligible for Zivas again. Unlike the way we explained that a woman can only become eligible for Nidas 11 days after her period. The Rambam holds, a woman has to keep a calendar of 7 and 11 all the time. Whether she sees or doesn't see, her body transfers some zivas to nidas, some zivas to nidas, nothing to do with seeing a period. And therefore, a woman can become a nida, then go through 18 days without seeing, and again she's eligible to become a ziva, because she went through the 7 of eligibility for nidas. So going to the Rambam, a woman transfers some zivas to nidas, without ever seeing. The way we learn, most Rishonim learn, if a woman has to become a Nida, and then the 11 days kick in. If she doesn't become a Nida, there's no 11 days. The Rambam learns that a woman has to keep a calendar all the time. Am I now in my 7 or am I in my 11? And it keeps on switching, whether she sees or doesn't see. It makes it much more complicated.
How does this do with the Yemachidish and
Venus? According to the Rambam. It's a big problem. I'm telling you, I'm not going to go into the Rambam and see them. It's a big problem. Don't think my advice.
This is all after the 5 clean, right?
It's only if you hold the whole 5, a second. You mean 5 before the clean?
Yeah.
It's also, in those days, I neither didn't have to have 5, nothing. And neither was 7 days. End of story. No clean days necessary.
Should be never again in real life. It could happen never again in her life. That's the last, I'm just saying.
A woman could go through life without ever becoming a Zava, without ever needing clean days. Correct. She becomes a Nida. She has 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she's clean. She goes to the mikvah that night. She's Materis. Till the next time she becomes a Nida. There were no 7 clean days. There was no Hefti Tara. There was no Bedikah twice a day. Nothing. That's all by Zava. So today, every woman is Machmer as if she were a Zava. Kiddush. What is the case of Kiddush that, again, Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Did not. Okay, we're talking about Kalayim. Kili HaKara means grain growing together with a vineyard. So what happens if somebody goes and he puts his vineyard next to his friend's grain and his vineyard grows over his friend's field? Did the grain become usher because of Kili HaKarim? Is it growing together? Baruch Moshe's vineyard is growing next to my field, and his vineyard comes right over my field. And my grain usher, it's his vineyard usher.
What's separating?
Nothing. Ownership.
No, but it's an offense.
Nothing.
If it was?
It's different. Let's stick to this now. Hamasachich gafne agabat tvasa shachaderoi. He makes his gafen go across over. Sachich means he, our cloak, what? Spreads. On top of the grain of his friend, I say, kiddush v'chayah b'achriyus, so the mayor. The mayor says it's like taking your meat and putting it to my milk. You created fats on the ground. If you take your meat and put it into my milk, it's basa b'cholov. Whether you, it's mine or not mine, it's a fact on the ground. Kili HaKarim is a fact on the ground. The grain and the vineyard are mixed. It's yours and mine. It's a great, you're a terrible guy. You might be a terrible guy. You might not be a terrible guy. But it's facts on the ground. It's like taking meat and putting it into milk. You can't say, well, it wasn't my meat, so my milk doesn't become usher. Hello, it's the Batsim Chalav. You created facts on the ground. You can't, ownership has nothing to do with it. Again, they're growing together. Let's not get involved in the details of what's Kili HaKarim. They're growing together. It's Kili HaKarim. I'm not getting involved in how far away they have to be. They're getting into detail of Kili HaKarim. Okay. Mer Tshashem, one day, maybe we'll learn Masechtas Kalayim, I don't know when, and we'll worry about it. But at this point, we're not getting involved in the detail. It's Kili HaKarim, but the problem is, it's your karim and my grain. Dr. Mayer, it makes no difference.
Both the
Rosh
of the grapes and the grain?
Pashtas, yes. It's Rosh that argue in that, one's the Rice, one's the Rabbanon. I'm not going there. We're not getting involved in Hilchos Kili HaKarim. Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon, Aymrim. Reb Yaisi, Reb Shimon say, Ein Adam Aysa Dav Hashayin Ishalai. No. And the Rishayim explain, including Taisus, that it's not facts on the ground. Kili HaKarim depends on the owner wanting them to grow together. If the owner has no desire for them to grow together, it doesn't become Kili HaKarim, even though they're growing together. That means if I quickly go and put up a fence or move your thing out of here, I don't want it to grow together. It doesn't become Aser, even though they grew together. Because Kili HaKarim is not like Basar B'cholov. It's not facts on the ground. It needs machshava. It needs my desire that it grow together. According to Reb Yaitzin and Reb Shimon, if my vineyard goes into my grain, and as soon as I find out that it's spreading, I run and put up a fence, it's fine. Because I never wanted them to grow together. It's only when I ignore it and say, let it grow together, that's when it becomes Kili HaKarim.
All yours.
Again, if you're interested in keeping them separate, and for some reason you missed it, it doesn't become Kili HaKarim. It's only when you don't care. So therefore, if he puts his vineyard on my grain, hello, you have no right to make my grain Kili HaKarim.
You're saying it's old. Yeah, and if he doesn't know.
Right.
He doesn't know about it.
If he knew and ignored it, it becomes Kili HaKarim. But again, the key point I'm trying to make is that the Rabbanon do not consider it Basar B'cholov. Basar B'cholov has zero to do with desire. If you take a look in Taisus, the second line, B'ayim Mari, the B'davar HaTolib B'machshavahu. You need machshava.
It reminds me of
if you want to, you can compare it to that. If you want to, the Taisus has other comparisons, but if you like that one, you can put in that one.
Where do we have that?
What daf was it? Bab Metzia, what daf? Bab Metzia, Psachim, what daf do you want?
Aleph?
Oh, yeah.
What's the status of the vineyard?
Same thing. Oh, meaning that this guy, he doesn't care. Does his vineyard become Asur? I'm not sure. I would assume not, but I'm not sure.
Rabbi, what's the reason for the differentiation between this and the Basakhova? Why is Basakhova in play here? Why does it matter here?
Maybe you're asking, what's the source for this?
I'm trying to figure out why, on the ground, it makes any difference at all. The substance itself should either be permitted or not permitted, just like by certain colors.
See, some things depend on machshava, and some things don't. I don't know, honestly, I'm missing it. It's not like it's not there. I don't know the reason for this.
This was done by Mazer.
He did it, b'mezid, but it's my grain, and I didn't do it, b'mezid.
In other words, he allowed his carom
yes.
to grow over there.
Yes.
And that's why... And
question is, it's my grain, usher. He can't usher my grain.
Right, but his...
I said, I don't know. I don't want to commit myself because I don't know. Could be because my grain is usher.
You know what the Gemara is saying? I hear what you're saying, but...
See, you're pushing me to go where I don't want to go.
Don't push me up. I'm looking at words, that's the problem.
You can look at the words. Again, if I say something, I'm going to open up a whole Pandora's box here. There are Rishonim that say that, biblically speaking, the Kerem never becomes Usher. It's only the grain that becomes Usher. I said, getting involved in other things. Because the Pasuk says, Satcha lo sizra klayim. Do not plant your field klayim. That means... We're bothered by the guy who had the grain in the vineyard. It's a machlekes rishonim. I don't want to see that. I'm saying you're pulling me to where I don't want to go. But you might be right. You might be wrong. I don't know.
So if my milk goes to somebody else's meat, and he doesn't want to know about it. It's still up.
Exactly. There's some, and that's Harvey's question. How do I know the difference? I don't know the answer. How do I know that this depends on the machshava and basar b'chalav does not? Right. And treif does not. If you take a piece of treif and put it into my chicken soup becomes treif, whether I wanted it or not. And when you take this, it doesn't become us.
You can divide this up afterwards, even after it goes together.
That's not the reason, because even if you could divide the basar b'chalav, it doesn't make a difference. I don't want to get involved there. The Tosfos brings another case where it's the same thing. If you decide that my animal should be an Avodah Zarah, you bow down to it. It doesn't become us, sir. You have no right to make my animal into an idol. You put facts in the ground. You bow down to it. It's my animal. You can't designate my animal as an idol. You have no right to that designation. That's what Tosfos compares it to. You need a the owner designates his animal as an idol. You can't come along and make my animal an idol.
But reminds me also...
I'm not sure exactly what he means.
No.
It makes no difference.
No, why? It makes no difference. What do you mean?
Because we have the case here. That's all I need.
No,
you can compare it to anything you want. I don't care. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know what you're talking about with the tzach, not mekabel tumah. You need a maisa. You need a maisa to make it not be mekabel tumah. You can't just say something shouldn't be mekabel tumah.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I didn't react.
According to Harris, you ignored me.
Kidesh. Actually, Lashon Pentigdash comes from the word, perhaps it'll be banned. Asar Tzvuas Chaveira V'Chayev L'Shalom. He has to pay. Okay, so that's the case of Kiddush. So we have four cases where Reb Yossi said halacha. We had Andragonus, where he said it's male. We had Hakava, when he said the grafting takes 2 weeks to develop roots. We had Kaishi, where he said a woman can only be in labor for 2 weeks. And we said Kiddush, where he said that to make something Skiliyat Kerem needs the owner's agreement, tacit agreement. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon in all cases. Ibayilu. Now we want to know, if you notice, Rav said two. He said Androgynous and Arkava. Shmuel said two, Kaishi and Kiddush. What do they hold by each other? Would Rav agree, would Shmuel agree to Andragonus? Meaning, Rav said I paskel or Rabbi Yaisi in two cases, and Shmuel said I paskel or Rabbi Yaisi in another two cases. Does Shmuel disagree with Rav? Does Rav disagree with Shmuel? How do they work with each other? Ibailu. By Andragonus, Mali Amr Shmuel. What does Shmuel say about Rabbi Yaisi by Andragonus? Dr. Gemara Tashema, the Amr Shmuel Rav of Ravanan, Shmuel told Ravanan, let the Braisa become a Masnisan. Remember we had yesterday a Braisa that said Rabbi Yaisi says it's a Suffolk, and the Mishnah said Rabbi Yaisi said it's male, and Shmuel came along and said the Mishnah is the right version. That means he paskins like Rabbi Yaisi of the Mishnah. By saying, ignore the Braisa, take the Mishnah, he's telling his Talmud, that's the Halacha. Hakava Mali Amr Shmuel. What would Shmuel say about grafting? Does he paskin like Rabbi Yaisi 2 weeks or not? Dr. Gemara Tashema, Amar Le Shmuel Ravanan, Shmuel told Ravanan, Tani Kamand Amar Shleishu Shleishim, paskin 3 and 30, meaning it takes 3 days for the roots to develop, not like Rabbi Yaisi. So there Shmuel does not paskin like Rabbi Yaisi. He says, I don't need 2 weeks of developing roots. If you do it 3 days before El, remember we said 30 days is automatic, 3 days before El, it's good enough. Frektigamara Kaishi Mali Amarav. What does Rav say about the amount of time of labor? Zoktigamara Teku. We have no proof, nothing to say, no indication. We don't know. We don't know what Rav said. Nobody can quote him, nobody has a raya, nothing. Teku. Let it stand, we don't know. How about Kiddush Mali Amarav? What does Rav say about the Keli HaKerem case? Tashema, Amar Rav Yaisi of Tashema, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Ein Halacha K'Rav Yaisi. Rav said, we don't paskin like K'Rav Yaisi. And we paskin like Rav Meir, that Kiddush, that Keli HaKerem is facts on the ground, not dependent on the thought of the owner. Amar Le Abaya, my chaz is the Samchat Aha, Smaychaha. Why are you relying on Rav Huna's version of Rav? Why don't you rely on the other version of Rav, the Amar Avad Amar Rav Halacha K'Rav Yaisi? Rav Avad said that Halacha is K'Rav Yaisi, right? So therefore, why are you relying on Rav Huna's version more than on Rav Avad's version? Zaktik, I'll tell you what. You're right. I don't know which version is right. But who was the one that told us that Rav paskins K'Rav Yaisi by Andragonus? It was Amri Bey Rav, which is Rav Huna. We wanted to know, how about the other two cases? So we're talking according to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by Kiddush. So to Gemara, Amri Bey Rav Manu Rav Huna. Who is the Amri Bey Rav that we quoted originally? That paskins like Rav by and says that we paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by Andragonus in our cover. It was Rav Huna. Therefore, Rav Huna Amr Ein Halacha. In Rav Huna's opinion, Rav said Ein Halacha. You're right. I don't know what Rav said. But we were going in Rav Huna who said that Rav paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by Andragonus in our cover. We wanted to know what would Rav say by Kalayim. Rav Huna told us he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by Kalayim. In Rav Huna's opinion, that's what he said. In truth, Rav Ada said he did paskin like Rabbi Yaisi, so we don't really know. Rashi. Amri Bey Rav, Damar Lo, Halacha K'Rav Yaisi, by Dragon is about Kava. There can be Boy La Libayu. We asked according to them, Kiddush Mar, Manu Rav Huna, the Parakam of the Sanhedrin. Rav Huna, Kamer, Ein Halach. Zokt Rashi. Ida Gemara and Sanhedrin says at the end of the day that Amri Bey Rav is not Rav Huna. Amri Bey Rav is Rav Nuna. Hainu Hecha, the Amr Rav Huna, the Amri Bey Rav. That's when Rav Huna says Amri Bey Rav, obviously Amri Bey Rav is somebody else. The Mukha Chemus, it shows us that Inish Chachina Kamar. Ava Hecha dit Mestama, but when it says Amri Bey Rav by itself, Vadai Havi Rav Huna. Then it's Rav Huna. So Rashi's answering a question. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says Amri Bey Rav is Rav Huna. In fact, the Gemara, but the Gemara says Amar Rav Huna, Amri Bey Rav. Obviously, Rav Huna is not quoting himself. Now, the Gemara, you're right. It's Rav Nuna. So Rashi is explaining when Rav Huna quotes Amri Bey Rav, he's quoting Rav Nuna. But when the Gemara says Amri Bey Rav, plain, it's Rav Huna. Who is the man that's saying? It's a saying that refers to one person.
What do you have to? So say What does that mean, on review? An actual tie to this group?
Okay, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's on Daf Yudai Namid Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through that a lot of sayings that we say refer to one person. Amri b'marava. All these sayings that we say, in Eretz Yisrael they said, here they said, who is it? And the Gemara attributes it to one person. All those things are one person. Different things, different people. So the Gemara says, who is Amri Beirav? Right? The Gemara goes through all these kinds of neutral words. They said in Eretz Yisrael. In this city they said. Who said? So everyone has a person that said it. And for some reason, Chazal referred to it by a generic term. So who is Amri Beirav?
I mean, there's a clause somewhere, there's a space somewhere, it says, maybe Google the Olam, right?
Shame Omer, right?
Right.
That's the same, is that considered like the person?
This is considered like the person.
Oh,
yes.
It is the person.
Amri Beirav is Ravuna. That's quoting Ravuna. It's a different way of quoting Ravuna. Exactly. Exactly. You're right.
Really bothered by it, but why are we giving it the whole?
I don't know. It's a good question. In Sanhedrin, your dynamic base, that's where you should ask this question. The Gemara has a whole list of things there. If you want to hand me Gemara Sanhedrin, I'll lead you the list. I shouldn't ask you. You're a Kayan.
So is it down the bottom?
I don't know where the Sanhedrin is.
So Bay is short for Bay,
yeah, in the yeshiva.
What's it?
I knew that would happen. Why did I predict that? The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, when it says "lemeidim lufnei chachamim," that's Levi. When it says "Donim lufnei chachamim," that's Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zaima, and Chanan Amitzir. When it says "Rabbi Seinu shebegmavel," it's Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Seinu Eretz Yisrael is Rav Abba. Dainei Gailas Karna. Dainei Eretz Yisrael is Rav Ami Rav Asi. Dainei the Pumbatis is Rav Papa Rav Shmuel. Dainei the Nardo is Rav Adam Rav and Yumi. Sabi the Sur. It goes through a whole list. Amri Beirav is Rav Huna. Frank the Gemara, but it says Rav Huna said Amri Beirav. So the Gemara is Rav Nuna. So Rashi learns, so Al-Chas, that the Gemara is saying, when Rav Huna said Amri Beirav, then it's somebody else. But when it said Stam, it means Rav Huna. No, I don't know if it says that. Okay, so the Gemara writer. Rav Yehuda I'm a tumtum. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda said, a tumtum shenikra benimtza zachar is a saris. Can't do chalitza because he's a saris. Amar Rav Ami, I got a problem. My avidlei, Rav Yehuda, l'tumtum de Biri. What would Rav Yehuda say about the case of a tumtum in the city of Biri? V'yisvu abei kursa, they put him on some chair. V'ikra, and the covering of his genital area got ripped off. V'ayilat sheva benin, and he had seven sons. Rav Yehuda says he can't give birth. He's a saris. And we have a story of a tumtum in Biri that became not a tumtum and had seven sons.
He wasn't really a tumtum.
He was covered. Zakti Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amalach, Chazra Aban of Meinheim. Rav Yehuda would say, check out his kids. Do a DNA test. They're not his kids. He wouldn't be able to give birth. Rashi, tumtum debiri, shayva isim bakim, the eyelid, zayim bonim. He gave birth to seven children. Amalav sarasu. May name, ishtay zinsa. His wife was Mazana. Zakti Gemara by Tanya Rav Yisim Rav Yehuda Aymer. Rav Yaisi, Rav Yehuda says, so this is Rav Yehuda's son. Tumtum layachlitz, shema yikram, v'nimtza srischama. Maybe he will get ripped up, maybe it will be open, being ripped off, and it will be a srischama. Frak the Gemara, Atta called the mikra, Zacharavi? I mean, who says he's going to be male to begin with? The Gemahaki Kamar. First of all, he shouldn't give chalitza if there's another choice, because shema yikram v'nimtza nekeva. his chalitza might be a joke because he might be a female. It might be a female. V'im dimtze zachar shema yimtzech rizchama. And even if he's male, he's maybe a srizchama. Now this is different than his father. His father said he's a definite srizchama. Rabbi Yitzhak Yudah said, if you have an other brother here, let the other brother do chalitza. Because if this guy does chalitza, A, he might be female, and therefore it's not a chalitza, and B, he might be a saris, and it's not a chalitza. So therefore, if you have another brother here, don't have him do the chalitza.
I thought the kriya is what makes him a saris. Did we talk about that last week?
It says, from this Gemara, it's masmi, he's a saris naturally. You're right. I did say that last week. From this Gemara, it's masmi, he's a saris naturally. What is the difference in the father and the son between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rava, Livso b'makam achim, v'lachlo chiloi b'makam achim. Two differences in Kibbanai. Number one is, I'll do the second one first. There's no other brother. So let him give chalitza. Because he might not be a saris, and he might be a male. So why wait? Why let her go free? She might not be free. Because Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda does not hold these a definite saris. Again, her other option is to wait if he ever gets ripped, and what if he doesn't? And even if he doesn't, he's male. We don't know, he might not be a saris.
Let her go out.
Again. There's a brother here.
But he's not a, he could be a female.
Maybe.
We don't let her go free.
How can you let her go free? There might be a male. And maybe that male is not a saris. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzhak Yehuda would say, if he's the only show in town, he's got to do chalitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no chalitza. He's a, even if he's a male, he's never, he's 100% saris. That's one difference. The other difference is, what if he went, and he gave chalitza. He gave chalitza. He didn't ask anybody. Now his brother wants to do yibum. According to Rabbi Yehuda, his chalitza was a waste of time. His brother can go do yibum. Reuven died, left over two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon is a tumtum. Shimon went and did chalitza. Levi can still do yibum. Shimon is a saris. It's worthless. It's meaningless. According to Rabbi Yehuda, might not be meaningless. Levi would have to do chalitza, but he wouldn't be able to do yibum because Shimon gave chalitza, and it might have been a good chalitza. So those are the two differences between Rabbi Yehuda, who says 100% saris, and his son, who says perhaps a saris.
Does the second brother give chalitza also?
According to Rabbi Yehuda, he has to.
Both brothers.
Yeah.
Well,
he's not supposed to. The saris shouldn't have done anything.
No, we'll give something.
Again, when somebody dies, only one brother has to give chalitza.
But that first chalitza was not a chalitza.
That's if he did, the other one has to give another chalitza. Correct. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the other brother can do yibum.
Right.
Rabbi, there's no waiting to suffer of whether or not the first brother, the tumtum, gave the chalitza. There's no waiting for that. We don't do a 50-50. We don't do a probable. We don't disregard it. We just say that it's ineffective because it's a suffix.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, we say we don't know if it worked. We don't know.
So we don't give it.
We don't give it any weight at all. We do. We don't allow the other brother to do yibum.
We give it all the weight.
Yeah. Yehuda, he's a non-entity as far as yibum chalitza are concerned.
But we don't.
We
just don't know whether this is what gender
he is. There's two srekas. Kohen Yehuda, there's only one. He might be male, he might be female, but even if he's male, he's a saris, so there's nothing to talk about. He's a non-factor. His chalitza is no chalitza. His brother doesn't have to deal with him. He's out.
With two srekas,
right, so you're asking, why don't we say srek srek and make her mutter? I guess. Good question. The only thing I can think of is it can't hurt. Give chalitza.
Why are we focusing on the brothers and not the original husband?
He's dead.
No!
He's dead. He died.
Was the tumtum,
was his marriage?
Well, it's a suffix. If you, we don't know if a tumtum is a male or a female.
Clear.
What?
focus there, if it is,
please be Michael.
No, let's say you say he was for sure a.
We don't know.
Part of Yehuda.
Asaris can get married. There's no issue for Asaris to get married. Asaris Chama can get married.
He doesn't have a
no mitzvah.
That's what I'm saying. Let's stress that.
Why don't we say the difference is if the husband was Asaris, is the Avada, if the husband was a Tumtum, does his wife need Chalitza?
That's right. Exactly.
You're right. It would be a difference. Correct.
What's it easier for?
Why is there no worry about giving Chalitza twice? Why not
what's wrong? There's no Aveira in giving Chalitza. It might be worthless, but it's no Aveira.
I'm trying to avoid worthless. I know it's not a bracha, but it's because there's
no Isser involved, meaning you're not doing anything.
You are saying something. You are giving a release that may be meaningful.
Because he's released already or doesn't need a release.
That's right. Why aren't we concerned at all if you're going through a ritual that may be totally void?
Well, the other option is to tell the woman she can never get married. I would not be happy with that. Abi wouldn't be happy to tell a woman she could never get married.
No, you could say that if it was stuff of good, it's done. You could be lenient that way.
I can't, because it might be a Saris, and it doesn't count. No, but Harry asked a minute ago, it's a sex raker. Subic male, subic female, and even male, it might not be. So I don't have an answer to that.
So both brothers, both the Tumtum and the healthy brother, are known as the negative connotation of Chalitza now.
I lost you on that one.
With negative connotation, when a person does Chalitza rather than Yidin, right? Am I wrong in that too?
Yeah, but not as that we pass Kamitza Chalitza Kadamas. Well, if you can't, you can't. If you can't give Yibum, you can't do Yibum. But the Saris can't do Yibum because if he's a Saris, he's Iver Eishesach.
I guess what I'm asking is, if the Saris or Tumtum does it first, then the other brother...
He's stuck. He has no Breira.
So are they both known as the two brothers who gave Chalitza, or the second one, the healthy one?
I honestly don't think anybody will hold it against him. What's he supposed to do? He had no option. It doesn't accompany him the rest of his life.
It doesn't.
At time of blessing, they say, Beit Chalutz Hanol. Finished. 2 minutes later, he's a regular guy.
There's no negative connotation on
it? What do you mean? They put they hang a sign on him? No. He can get Maftriya initial if he buys it.
Rabbi, she makes a declaration.
Yes.
She says,
first he says he doesn't want to do Yibum. And we ask him and he said, I don't want to do Yibum. So she says, there's a whole list of I have to look at them.
I'm sorry, I'm so obsessed with what she's saying. It's completely nonsense.
I mean, people get up at their thing in the Beit HaMikdash, and they make a declaration, the basket in front of the Mikdash, and it's meaningful.
She's making a meaningful declaration, and it could be
depending
on the text, it could be a lie. It could be false.
Well, but none of that's false, because she got something that says he doesn't want to do Yibum. Nobody gave him a choice. Those are the words she said. Again, she walks today, Bizman Azad, they do Chalitza. A woman walks into Bezin and says in front of the man, he doesn't want to do Yibum for me. Now he could say, excuse me, nobody ever gave me the choice. But that's the nuts of the Torah says to say. He doesn't want to do Yibum. He might not want to do it because he's not allowed to, but the bottom line is he doesn't want to do Yibum. I hear your question. I don't think it's a problem because I don't think there's any Isser being done. You're bothered by the waste of time. Not more than that. The charade, the going through a process that might not be a process. You know, sometimes we tell a person to give a get me suffix. And he writes a divorce. I am divorcing my wife, who might not even be his wife. Because there's nothing wrong. Same thing.
Pinyon of Ben seems like folly, too. I mean, you're going to do a whole back and forth. Nobody's going to be there for some of the coin, right? You ever do the Pinyon of Ben? Okay, same thing.
Yeah, but there it's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Chumash. It's Chazal, whoever made the Nusach, made that Nusach. I think it's so impressive on the father that this is not a joke. This is real.
Okay. Money's real.
Money's real, yeah. But you know, they asked the Kasha. The Mepharshim asked the Kasha. Why do we ask the father which one he wants first? Okay, we will continue interesting tomorrow. Whichever one.